Trend number two, addressing the coming wave of state insolvency. A growing number of governors are voicing concern about the damage inflicted on both the revenue and the expenditure sides of their states' budgets by the COVID-19 pandemic. To allay these concerns, the $2 trillion Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act, provided $150 billion to state and local governments, in addition to a $30 billion education fund, a $45 billion disaster relief fund, and other smaller programs. But even these massive sums are proving inadequate to prevent the massive disruption caused by large-scale business shutdowns, plummeting tax revenues, and new health care and unemployment insurance expenses. Moreover, this threat only grows with each day that states like New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and California delay fully reopening for business. The situation is particularly dire for the many states that entered the current crisis with pre-existing conditions that render them less able to cope with these challenges owing to repeated failures in addressing their budget issues. That's especially true for states with heavily underfunded public employee retirement benefits. Many states that have offered generous retirement benefits to their employees have not funded these benefits in full, partly because the needed money has been spent elsewhere in the budget. Accounting gimmicks, as well as high investment returns in the past decade, have kept overburdened states afloat. But just as economic catastrophe is driving debt-laden companies such as JCPenney, Neiman Marcus, and Hertz into bankruptcy, many states are being forced to confront similar burdens. It is in this context that the idea of including states under Chapter 9 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code, which allows cities, counties, and other state municipalities to file for bankruptcy, has resurfaced. This proposed expansion would allow state governments to file for bankruptcy. Although controversial, the idea of political jurisdictions filing for bankruptcy is far from radical. In fact, since 1980, there have been a total of 54 Chapter 9 filings involving cities, counties, towns, and villages. In theory, allowing states to go through the bankruptcy process would overcome today's political obstacles and finally create the conditions for financially troubled states to rectify their unsustainable financial conditions. Is this realistic? Consider the facts. Ideally, insolvent states would try to right their fiscal conditions. Legislatures and governors would make the hard budget adjustments necessary for states to meet their obligations to the public, retirees, and bondholders. But it is apparent, especially for the most financially overburdened states, that doing so is neither politically feasible nor economically possible without severe cuts to public services. A decade ago, General Motors and Chrysler both descended into bankruptcy after decades of mismanagement and poor performance, as well as excessive labor and retiree costs. In a similar fashion, decades of mismanagement and short-term political decision-making by state governments have finally collided with economic reality. But today, states don't have the option of wiping the slate clean via bankruptcy. So, what options do states have? Their preferred option would be to get a federal bailout, but that would provide no incentives to reform overly generous public employee labor compensation, which is the root cause of their problems. Such a bailout would only encourage states to continue making poor choices. It would also require residents of fiscally prudent states to bail out those which refuse to live within their means, many of which are wealthy. Alternatively, states as sovereign entities could simply default on their debts, But that would mean public employees are protected at the expense of taxpayers and bondholders. And this would make it unlikely that these states could borrow money at anything other than junk bond rates ever again. Worst of all, current taxpayers in New York and Illinois would end up paying the higher interest rates, getting fewer services, and funding public sector retirees now living in Florida. Until Senate Majority Leader McConnell made clear that no bailout would be forthcoming this year, the idea of states seeking bankruptcy protection was only a hypothetical suggestion. In fact, McConnell took the bold step of suggesting that expansion of Chapter 9 bankruptcy to include state governments was an attractive alternative which Congress should seriously consider as a means of alleviating the crisis many states now face. Naturally, this sent shockwaves through states like Illinois, New York, and California, with huge underfunded pension liabilities. But in the absence of a federal bailout, McConnell's suggestion appears a better alternative than selective default and debt repudiation, which would create many new problems and do little to solve current problems. This is especially true since many of the most troubled states are constrained by state constitutional provisions that prohibit the flexible options that states should use to rectify their balance sheets in a comprehensive way. Most important, many state constitutions contain provisions that have been interpreted by courts to guarantee that state and local employees have a right to pension benefits based on the formula in effect at hire, without reduction until retirement, essentially rendering these obligations untouchable. The idea of extending bankruptcy to states is not new. In fact, trends touched on this topic in the April 2020 issue. University of Pennsylvania law professor David Skeel, a specialist in corporate finance and bankruptcy, first introduced the idea after the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009. He argued that a procedure for bankruptcy could instantly reduce states' unsustainable bond debt, cut wasteful spending, and allow states to rework unsustainable public employee retirement benefit obligations. Duke law professor Stephen Schwartz even designed a model state bankruptcy law that would achieve these objectives. What's the bottom line? Extending bankruptcy mechanisms to the states would avoid some of the problems with the current alternatives. But Chapter 9 bankruptcy, as currently formulated, is no panacea for taming countervailing political dynamics. The more recent bankruptcy experiences of larger and more indebted municipalities like Detroit have exposed the difficulties of keeping the process free of politics. Furthermore, in order to avoid some of the problems that have arisen in municipal bankruptcies, it appears that common sense reforms will need to be made before making states eligible for bankruptcy. Given this trend, we offer the following forecast for your consideration. First, this will be an important fault line for the 2020 elections, even though it is unlikely that bankruptcy expansion or federal bailouts will make it into the Phase 4 COVID-19 Relief Act. Democrats have already endorsed state bailouts as part of the so-called HEROES Act. However, few pivotal states in terms of winning control of the Senate or Electoral College victory would benefit from this bailout. Furthermore, in many House districts, public employees are increasingly being perceived as overpaid parasites by the broader electorate. Meanwhile, voters will watch as slow-to-reopen blue states like Illinois, New York, New Jersey, and California teeter on the brink, while red states like Missouri, Florida, Georgia, and Texas return to stable growth. Unless something disrupts this pattern before November, it implies a political plus for Republicans and a political minus for Democrats. Second, assuming Republicans win back control of the House and retain the presidency and Senate, bankruptcy will become available to state governments. To avoid pitfalls, this legislation must be carefully crafted, taking into account the unique political and constitutional aspects of the situations. For example, under America's system of constitutional federalism, states as sovereign entities would retain the option to repudiate their debts in whole or in part, subject to their own laws. And, unlike Chapter 11 corporate bankruptcy, Chapter 9 provides no option for creditors to initiate involuntary bankruptcy proceedings. But giving states the option to file for bankruptcy would not only provide them with a workable alternative to outright default, it could also give them leverage to reach consensual adjustments without ever having to resort to an actual bankruptcy filing. Third, opening up the bankruptcy alternative to states will allow them to sidestep ill-conceived state laws. Under the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, federal bankruptcy law overrides state constitutional constraints, letting the court adjust earned and unearned pension benefits of existing workers and current retirees. On paper, bankruptcy preserves the property rights for vested benefits, but allows the reworking of all contractual promises, including public employee pension contracts. Fourth, bankruptcy law, rigorously enforced, will ensure that all creditors are treated equally and will create incentives to avoid unsustainable future commitments. Requiring all claimants to share equally in the pain of bankruptcy and demanding that the plan be economically feasible is not only fair, it also creates positive incentives for all parties by restraining moral hazard and creating incentives to hold state governments accountable. Chapter 9, like Chapter 11, requires that any reorganization plan may not unfairly discriminate among different groups of creditors that hold the same priority. Raising the possibility that public employee pensions would be subject to cuts as part of bankruptcy would create powerful incentives for public employees to accept more realistic benefit promises and then to pressure state governments to fund them adequately. Thus, the threat of bankruptcy and the shared pain it could bring about would provide incentives for both bondholders and public employees to pursue greater public fiscal sustainability going forward. Courts should also more rigorously apply the requirement that any plan should be economically feasible, meaning that the plan promises long-term sustainability and not just short-term relief. Failure to clearly address looming underfunded retirement obligations should render any proposed plan infeasible. And fifth, when Chapter 9 is amended to accommodate states, judges will be appointed in such a way as to minimize conflicts of interest. Alternatives include appointing a judge from another state or appointing a judge at random from any of the 90 districts. The stakes are high, and failing to keep the judge independent would all but assure that state bankruptcy will fail to achieve its goal and that state debt problems and political obstacles in the path of their resolution will persist.